So tonight, I'm actually not preaching technically. I'm teaching and sharing about presbytery. We've been kind of talking about that every week. And some of even the people that are being prayed for have never experienced it in the context of what we have come to understand it as. And so the elders agreed that it would be good for somebody to say, this is what it is, and this is how we do it, and this is why we do it. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight. It's also a good reminder for those of us who do know that this is what it is and this is why we do it. So I first actually, let me back up a little further. My husband and I got saved, came to know the Lord in the Jesus movement of the early 70s. For those of you who are young, a lot of you don't remember that. But there was a big outpouring of the Spirit of God in the early 70s, and it started, swept across the country, and a bunch of us old hippies got saved. And in the church at that time, there was a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we began to see gifts of the Spirit that had not been in operation for quite a while coming back into the church. And we were blessed to be part of that. You know, there's a whole teaching about church history and what happened during the Dark Ages and all the things that were lost that God had intended the church to have. But in the movements that have happened over the ages, time after time, with every movement, something has been restored. And so in the early 70s, personal prophecy was being restored. It had never died. There's always a remnant, always. God always has a remnant of something going on. But it wasn't the practice, even in many Spirit-filled churches, for there to be personal prophecy. Now, for this church, that's unusual because our lead minister is a prophet. And so when you're under the umbrella of someone, there's a lot of prophecy that happens, and we can kind of take it for granted. But it was restored to the church. And the other thing that was being restored in the early 70s was worship as we know it now, free worshiping in the Spirit in particular. And there were two men that I considered like fathers in the faith. They both had been saved many, many years. One is Eldon Wilson. Some of you remember Eldon. And the other was Verna Smith. And I remember both of them had an understanding of personal prophecy and of presbytery in the way that we practice it. And they began to teach about the fivefold ministry. That also was being restored, the fivefold ministry being prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, and evangelists being in a particular office. We all can prophesy. We all should be evangelizing. Some of us can teach. But these are fivefold ministries, are those who are set aside to equip the rest, to come into the fullness of those things. So these gentlemen began to speak about their own experiences with personal prophecy and presbytery, both, and teaching the fivefold ministry. And Eldon Wilson, in particular, had quite a testimony. He had been reared on the West Coast in Washington, and he had been part of what was known as the Latter Rain movement, which was in the late 40s. And he had experienced himself and had taught and had been part of presbyteries ever since, from 1948 until this day. He is an elderly man, and he is still traveling the world, preaching and teaching. So, a definition, starting off. A presbytery is a gathering of ministers and representative elders in a certain locality for a certain purpose. And that's the closest definition to what it is that we do here. There's only one scripture, and not even all translations use the word presbytery, but in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Do not neglect the gift which is in you, that special endowment which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit by prophetic utterance when the elders or the presbytery laid their hands upon you." So some of these translations say elders, but it means the same thing. This group of ministers, of representatives that come and impart to you by the laying on of hands. And so we want to look at that scripture and kind of pull it apart a little bit. The first thing is, do not neglect the gift. So whatever it is that's received on the night that you are prayed for at presbytery is a gift. Again, it's like salvation or any other thing. You haven't been good enough to be to receive this word. You haven't done anything. It's a gift from God that is given to us. And there are many gifts, and that's one of the things that will happen at presbytery, is gifts will be identified. And then there is also the impartation of those gifts. There may be things that you've been wondering, and you've taken surveys and done all kinds of things, like, I don't know what I'm called to. I have no idea what I'm called. I don't know. And quite often, there will be an impartation of a special gift that will be identified in you. It is, again, an impartation. And an impartation means to give or to grant or bestow or communicate a knowledge of something or to make it known. So whatever is said over the people that are being prayed for, they are words that are coming forth to make known to everyone. These are things that God has always known. But now it's being done in a public setting in front of a body of believers, so it is made known. And when it becomes public like that, I believe it's also made known to all of heaven, and I believe it's also made known to hell. And so there will be things that you're going to have to battle through to receive. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So, a gift imparted to you by the Holy Spirit. Using prophets. Now, these men that are coming, there are three that are coming, and we usually have a presbytery of three, are recognized, stable, prophetic men whose fivefold ministry calling is that of prophet. They are recognized in the larger body. They are known by the leadership of this church. We have either heard them prophesy. They've been recommended by people we trust. But it is three men who are prophets that will be here next weekend. And then these things are imparted by the laying on of hands. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. But let me just read this verse in Timothy again. Do not neglect the gift which is in you, that special endowment which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit, by prophetic utterance when the presbytery laid their hands upon you. And that's a word for all of us. How many here have already been received prayer at presbytery? Do not neglect the gifts that you've received. So, what are some things that might be imparted to you on that night? Well, gifts, we've talked about that. And we are hoping that there will be identifications of the gifts of the people that are being prayed for. It could be a fivefold ministry calling. It could be to some sort of leadership. It could be to a marketplace ministry. But it is a gift that's given to you that God is calling to the surface at this time. It doesn't mean either that it's a one and done, because several of us have been prayed for more than once when our circumstances change. Singles are prayed for separately. When they're married, we pray for the couples. for Tina and Sue and I when we lost our husbands. This actually will be my first time since I've been a widow. But those things are brought to the surface again. There can be created things that happen for such a time as this. We've seen some really creative impartations. We've seen things that nobody had a clue about, you never would have thought of in your wildest dreams, and all of a sudden that thing on the spot is created within that person. And then they begin, sometimes immediately, functioning in it. It sometimes is directive. There will be very specific things said. Do this, go here, step one, two, three. There will be directions that will be given to you. Sometimes it is for correction. Now, let me just say this. Presbytery is not a time that God is going to air anybody's dirty laundry. Don't stay awake at night worrying about thus and such being exposed. That is not what this is about. But sometimes there is a correction that needs to be made. And I've got some examples of each of these things that I'll be sharing in a moment. Sometimes there is on-the-spot healing also that is imparted to people. And we have seen that happen more than once, where someone has been come before presbytery, had hands laid on, healing is spoken, and they are instantly healed. Quite often, and I think God is so faithful to do this, there will be something spoken over a person that only they understand. That's very, very personal to them. And I believe that God does that so that we will believe that the rest of what is said is really from God. So it is important for you to keep your ears open, because very often, and I'll have some examples of that too, it will be something very personal that's done just to confirm to you these guys are really hearing from God. If there is something that the prophets are concerned about as they're praying for a person, they will go privately to Al and talk about that. That, again, will not be aired publicly. If they have a concern about something, that will be done in private. So, again, no worries. I want to give a few testimonies, and I know these firsthand. Al and Casey have shared, even last week when Al was talking about presbytery again, their experience back in the 70s again. They had come here from Tennessee. Al worked for Eastman Kodak, and they were here. He was here for a specific project, and then he was due to go back to Tennessee. And he had quite a lucrative position waiting for him back in Tennessee. The night after presbytery, when they were prayed for, they had hired a moving van. All of their whole house was in boxes, ready to go to Tennessee. There was a word for them. None of us wanted them to go at the time. We didn't want to see them go, but the prophets knew nothing, and I'll, again, talk a little bit more about that in a minute. The word came forth. This specifically, you are not to move, you are to stay. Well, as you can imagine, there was this that happened in the church. And that was a lot to say, be it unto me according to your word, Lord. It meant that Al had to call his boss and say, I'm not moving. I'm not accepting this position. It meant a sizable cut in pay. It meant they had to unpack all of their stuff. They were living in a rental house. They had to find a house. They had to explain to their families. You know, just imagine what that would be like. But let me say this. If they had not stayed, this church would not exist right now. And that's a long story that we don't need to go into. God kept them here for a specific purpose, and you're part of it. Because this church would not exist if they had not stayed. So, that's the first. My husband, when we went to church in Brockport, they were sending out a group of people from Brockport to Greece to start a new body of believers. There were a certain number of people that came here, enough to start a church. And my husband and I had been elders in the church. And it was kind of really just assumed, because he was an elder and we lived in Greece and we had a home meeting, that he would be the pastor, the lead pastor. And my husband, he was very shy, started out being very shy anyway. He didn't feel that that was specifically his calling. He did not want to be rebellious or disobey, but he did not have a peace about it. He's like, Lisa, I don't think I'm called to be the point man, if you understand what that is. I'm a support person. I'm not the lead guy. And it was kind of falling on deaf ears, because it looked like that's what he should be doing. And it was weighing very heavily on him. And this was the very first time that Ron and I sat under presbytery, and they had said a lot of stuff about him and about this much about me, which I was like, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But towards the end of the word for Ron, all of a sudden, a man stepped out, one of the prophets, and he pointed at him and he said, not everyone is called to be the lead, and you're one of them. You are called to be a support person. And he went, thank you, God. It wasn't what he was called to. That's a correction. When I said sometimes it brings correction, that was a correction. And he was so much happier. And the man that was raised up was called to do that job at that time. And if my husband had taken that position, he never would have been free to take the one he did take at the Open Door Mission, which became the joy of his heart for over 20 years. So correction sometimes happens. In that little piece for me that first time, the phrase be strong was said 9 times over me. And I'm like, be strong, be strong. Be strong, be strong. And I'm like, what the heck? But that word was very personal to something I was going to be facing not too long afterwards. And I needed that bolstering. I needed that encouragement, because what that said to me, even though I didn't know the details of what was going to happen to me, God knew that I needed a word that said, be strong. Be strong. You can face this. You can get through it. Be strong. And so I didn't realize it in the moment, but it was a preparation for me. I have asked Alan permission to share this. In his wife's family, Alan's wife's family, for 10 generations, there has been divorce. And that has always been a prayer of his, of ours, that his marriage would not end in divorce, because they had this extremely long spiritual inheritance of divorce on that side of the family. Was it the first thing that was said? The first thing Jerry Taylor said, though, I think. Okay, so when Alan was prayed for, pardon me? Oh, pick up your socks, was the first thing that was said to him. But then, secondly, they looked right at him and said, divorce is not your portion. Praise God. He went to this presbytery with that on his heart, in all of our hearts, praying, and you'll be married 26 years coming up, right? Divorce is not their portion. Tina is the only one in her whole family that has not been divorced. But God said, divorce is not their portion. Do you know what kind of freedom that brings when you know God has already said, this isn't going to happen. This is not in my plan for you, and it's not your portion. We all rejoiced over that one. When you talk about something really personal happening, another word that my husband had, he always, for as long as I've known him, drove a pickup truck. But the presbyters didn't know that, and this was not that first one where he was said not the lead man. Everyone that prophesied over him said, I see you in your truck praying in the spirit, and I see you in your truck counseling people, and I see you in your truck over and over and over again. And those were things, especially when he went to the mission, he used to take guys for rides. I don't know, Captain, did you ever have one of those? Yeah. Rides in the truck. It became a private counseling room. But it was a very specific thing that he understood, I understood, that was spoken to him. Tina Lippens had a word that she would minister to women around her kitchen table. And that word had been spoken many years ago. And she had believed it and thought it was true. But do you know when it started to happen, come to pass? When she moved her table into the kitchen and it was round. Very specifically, moved her table into the kitchen. And the first meeting we had, women's Bible study we had in the kitchen, turned out to not be a Bible study, but somebody pouring their heart out, and has been that way ever since. It was a specific word spoken that was meant to be followed, right? She was given that word, women around your kitchen table, a very specific thing. Eldon Wilson, who I had spoken about before, he had been in the Korean War, and he was in the Navy, and I don't exactly remember the specifics of it, but there was a very serious, I think it was a fire, that had broken out on his ship, and he rescued a whole boatload of men at great physical danger. And people said to him afterwards, weren't you afraid? And he said, no, I wasn't, because the words that had been spoken over me had not come to pass yet. And so he used that prophetic word as a weapon, saying, no, I'm going to do this because God said this, 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 and this to me, and it hasn't happened yet. And so I'm going to take this step because I know I will be safe. Very, very personal. Another word for Ron was, and this was the last time we were prayed for together, that he was to study the relationship between Elijah and Elisha. That was a directive word. That was the first thing that had to happen. He had to study that. And the second part of it was, gather 100 men after you've studied that so that you can impart to them what you've learned. So he spent months, almost a year, studying the relationship between Elijah and Elisha. And before he left this earth, not only had he gathered together 100 men, it was over 200 men that he had laid hands on and imparted before he left this earth, his gifting and a blessing over them. If he had not followed the first direction, the second part couldn't have happened. Bob Puff, the first time he was spoken to, said that he would invent something. And I don't know how many of you know Bob, but he has invented something that now is in the works. It said a lot of other things about insight that he would have, very specific things to him. And those here that have been prayed for have had those experiences where they've received words that have been very personal, that stirred up a gift within them, that brought them to a new place, that a directive was given that they had to follow. And sometimes you think, you know, well, it's the word of God. Can't I just, like, lay it on me, God? But Jerry Talo has said, God is 100% sovereign, and we are 100% responsible. We are responsible to care for and attend to those gifts that have been imparted to us. It would be like getting a gift and putting it in the closet and then wondering why it's not working, because you've put it in the closet. Those things that are imparted to people need to be stirred up and rekindled. And in 2 Timothy 1:6, it says that Paul is writing to Timothy, and he said, I want to remind you to stir up, to rekindle the embers of, to fan the flame, to keep the burn going in the gift that you receive by the laying on of hands. Stir it up. Keep it going. Can't rekindle it. You know, I don't know how many people in our Tuesday night home meeting have said recently that God has told them to pull out their prophetic words, all of them, and start rereading them and seeing what has not yet come to pass and put a demand on God. Or saying, Lord, you said this. You spoke this. It hasn't happened yet. I'm praying. I'm saying to you, this is your word to me. I'm putting a demand on that thing. And have begun to see some of the things that were hidden away come to pass. Begin to be used by him. We need to periodically read over, not just the presbytery words, but you should have a notebook of any prophecy that's ever been spoken over you so that you can read it over. We need to pray over those things, just as I said, put a demand on the Lord. We need to obey the directives that were given. We need to war with those words. Just like with Eldon Wilson, too. He warred with that word. I am not going to die yet, God, so I can do this. Don't let God's not yet be a breeding ground for unbelief. Now, just a couple weeks ago, I had shared that it had been spoken over my husband and I 30 or more years ago that we had a hospital ministry. And, you know, we had a certain vision in our mind of what that looked like. Like we would go into the hospitals and we would lay hands on people and they'd be miraculously healed and we'd be, you know, renowned for our healing gift. Well, I know, a little presumptuous of us, but that's what we read into it. That's what this healing hospital ministry was going to look like. And we waited 30 years for the real deal to happen. And that happened in his illness. In the last 5 years that he was with us on earth, he was hospitalized in 5 years 11 times. And he had 9 surgeries. And so we lived at the hospital. And every doctor, nurse, technician, phlebotomist, cleaning lady heard the gospel from my husband. He had perfected a 2-minute testimony. You could see it going to happen. You know, I would be watching him, and I'm like, 3, 2, 1, hey, which, and there it was. And it only lasted about 2 or 3 minutes because that's as long as you could get anyone to stay still. And at the end of it, what turned out to be our last time in the hospital, the Lord reminded me of that prophetic word. And he said, this was that. So just because it doesn't happen the day after you hear it, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep putting a demand on it. Keep saying, God, you said. And give me eyes to see the interpretation of that. These words, and the reason we are so anxious for all of you to come, is because, number one, very often there are call-out words to people that aren't on the candidate list. So at the end of those who have been chosen to be prayed for, prayed for many, many times, they will call out someone. I don't know if I should say this or not. My daughter, who is not currently walking with the Lord, when Alan, her brother, and Mason, her nephew, had been chosen to sit for presbytery, they invited her to come. And she said no both times, but ended up coming. And she tries really hard to have an attitude. I won't say, because this is being recorded, what kind of an attitude, but use your imagination. And, you know, she sat through the whole thing kind of like this. So Hector Santos was also prophesying that night. He had a call-out word for Sarah. And I was sitting about where Alan is, and as the mom, I'm like, don't turn around, don't turn around, don't look, don't look, don't. Mothers will understand that, don't look, don't make a scene, don't look, don't look. And she had expected, because of her status with God, that it was going to be one kind of a word. He lavished her with love. How she was the apple of God's eye, how much he loved her, that she was a treasure. It wrecked her. Okay, she comes to, I don't know, who was first? Mason's. So she came again to the second one, didn't want to come, didn't want to come. Hector Santos calls her out again with the same exact word. And she's like, Mom. I'm like, no, I didn't. I have said nothing. He doesn't even know you're my daughter. So it doesn't matter who you are, where you are. That can happen. You can be called out. And I'll tell you, those two words wore down some defenses in her. We encourage you to invite your friends and your family and anyone at all that you would love to have here to hear the words that are spoken over you. The other thing is very often there's a word for the church. So if you consider yourself part of this church and you want to know what God has to say about this church, very, very often there will be a word spoken over this church. And for the very first time, if you've looked at the list on the second night, on the Saturday night, it is all leadership people that are being prayed for, fivefold ministry people. So we're expectant to get some direction and some input for the church. And as Valerie had mentioned a couple weeks ago, you hear a word that you like, it's like, oh, I'm taking that. I'll take that one too. You know, and when you come into an environment where there are prophetic people, something gets stirred up within you. There is a prophetic thing that begins to happen when you're surrounded by prophetic people. And so you can expect that as well, just to be blessed in the presence of these men. Now, I want to spend the last couple of minutes just talking very specifically about our procedure. I know several churches that do have presbytery. I don't know what their procedure is, but I'm very familiar with ours. We don't put a name in a hat and just pick. We don't do that. It's not because the people being prayed for are our favorites, although they all are. But we take it very seriously, and Ron and Alan and Tina can both all attest to this. Months back, Al asked the question at the elders' meeting, should we have presbytery this year? So he listens for our yay or our nay. And we all said, yes, we think we should have presbytery this year. Then we're given an assignment. He gave us a deadline. He said, I want you to go and I want you to pray and ask God who should be prayed for this year. So we all did. We went our separate ways. We didn't discuss it. I can't say about the married couple here, but I didn't discuss it with anybody. Tina, Alan didn't. We prayed. And by our appointed date, we submitted our names to Al. Then he looks it over and says, how many are alike? Now, I'll tell you that many of the people that are being prayed for this year were on everybody's list. So it's Al asking us to ask God, who speaks to us, and then when you start having everybody's list almost the same, without discussion or interaction, you know that's God. And there was one person that was on every single person's list, at the top of their list, to be prayed for this year. So that's what happens. Secondly, after that's all decided and the candidates are chosen, Al prays about who do we ask? Who are the prophets we're going to invite in? And as I said before, these are seasoned, recognized, fivefold ministry prophets. We have judged their ministry. We have heard them. They are accurate. We have had other people agree with that these are men who have this position and they're safe to come. We are very protective of the body. And so we would not expose you to anyone that we weren't certain would be carrying the word of God. Now, let me also assure you, especially that are here tonight that are going to be prayed for, we tell the prophets nothing. Absolutely nothing. They know nothing, unless they know you personally, but we don't say anything to them at all. If you were here the last time before Rob and Jocelyn were married, they were just engaged, we didn't tell anybody that. It was amazing what was said, and then Al told them at the end, and they're like, what? But the accuracy was incredible. They knew nothing. And so they don't know. We haven't said anything about anybody. Al will choose a lead prophet. I suspect it probably will be Michael Cotton. And he will kind of direct the time of prayer. All of it will be recorded and transcribed. Pray for Lynn. Start right now praying for her, because that's a lot of transcribing. So hold her up in prayer. Fast. Lay hands on her. Lay hands on her hands and her ears. It's a huge job. After each person or people have been prayed for, someone who's a representative of the leadership of this house will come and join and lay hands on for the impartation. So it is your in-house covering as well as the prophets that are being called in. Then, after the transcribing job is done, and it gets done amazingly fast, I don't know how she does it, someone from the leadership of this church will go over that word with you. And so you will meet one-on-one with somebody who is a leader in this church, and we will go over your word by word. And we do that for a couple of reasons. One is, and we also keep copies of your words. The church keeps a copy. If there's someone that's designated specifically as your elder, they will keep a copy, because we pray over your words as well. We don't just say, here's your word and do with it what you will. We pray over those words as well. And sometimes when we begin to talk about it, new revelation and deeper understanding will come from that. I think that happened with Captain and Bonnie when we went over. It's like, oh, I hadn't seen that. Oh. And so that encourages you, and it will help us to help you walk it out. And if a specific gift has been identified in you, don't be surprised if you're given an opportunity to serve in that specific area. if somebody says, oh, you're to work with children, Valerie will probably be calling you somewhere down the line, because we want to help you use the gift that's been identified. Very often, they will say, you'll be coming back, but here's the word we have to release right now. And you don't get the full picture, but you'll be called back. And people who, it's been said, you know, we want to pray for you again down the road, but here's what we have for you tonight. You will be called back. We remember that. So you will be called back. For those of you who are being prayed for, I know that Al has sent some letters. You will be sitting up front. And I would encourage you, all of us really, to be preparing our hearts, whether you're prayed for or not, to be really preparing your heart to hear what God has to say. And we have had the prophets afterwards say, that person was so easy to prophesy over, or that person was really hard. And it depended on whether they were ready or not. It just flowed out of them because there was a heart that was ready to receive. Or it was like, wow, this is like digging in a coal mine. You know, it was hard. And so I would encourage all of us to fast if you can, to pray, to prepare your heart to receive. And I am so excited about this year's presbytery for a few reasons. There is such a complete picture of the cross-section of this church being prayed for. There are young people. We have two young girls, Kira and Zoe, that are being prayed for. We have single and married. We have leadership and those who have not yet been designated as such. We have black and white. We have this beautiful picture in cross-section of the body of Christ this year. And I am so excited to see and to hear what God has for all of us next weekend. And I know for a fact the prophets are already preparing their hearts as well. They do this and they take it very seriously. We have had one time that, only one that I can remember, have a word come forth that the leadership did not think was accurate. And that's only happened once. We corrected that. We spoke that to the body. We explained why we didn't think it was accurate. And so that is the case. Now, just because you'd never heard it before doesn't mean it's wrong. And again, just because it doesn't happen immediately doesn't mean it was wrong. But part of our job as leadership of the church is to judge these words also and to say yes and amen, or to say, again, only once in all the years that I've been involved in presbytery has there ever been one that we were like, that was not God. So I know this is a little different tonight, kind of very specific to our family here, but I want you to understand what's happening and what to expect and how to prepare yourself. And if you have any further questions, now I'm going to ask Tina and Alan and Ron, is there anything you want to say that I may have forgotten? Okay, go ahead.
Is this live? I really loved the stuff that Miss Lisa was actually sharing in light of the prophetic and how we function in it and how we are approaching it. I loved actually the spots where she even focused on at the very end how, hey, there has been a time when someone has been wrong and we have given correction. We have chosen as a house and as a body of believers not to keep it or play it safe. We are trusting in God And we're like, Lord, we need to follow your spirit. And there's some risk involved. There is room for error. Now, what I mean by not play it safe is it doesn't mean that we are loose with the prophetic in the slightest, because we're not. For those of you guys who know my story, I was quite hostile against the prophetic because I've had a number of people prophesy over me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so with that, I was very skeptical, and it was a journey for me to actually get to a place where I actually could recognize that there was a healthy balance and that the scriptures talk about it highly, even in Corinthians chapter, Corinthians 14, where it speaks about prophecy being for edification and encouragement and to build up. And Paul even states it right there. He's saying that I wish that all of you would prophesy. So there's actually something that's very significant and valid about it. But again, the only way you can do it accurately is if you're plugged into the vine. You have to hear from the Lord. And sometimes we get it wrong, and that's okay. As we sang about our Father being a loving God, He is one that's a part of us with the entire journey. So if we drop the ball, he's like, oh, no, I'm not going to kick you to the curb. It's like, oh, get up, try this again, and learn to hear my voice. And so I'm going to encourage you, please take it seriously. Pray into it. I'm endorsing everything that Miss Lisa said about fast into it. Pray about it. Lord, we want to hear from you. We're not going to take this lightly, nor are we going to just not revere it appropriately. And so I'm going to encourage you, please, you know, do the due diligence. Come out. One other announcement type of note is we do start at 7 on Friday. We will have prayer at 6 still. So we will be priming the atmosphere an hour before service like we always do. Come if you can. Again, please recognize the needs of your family. If you just get off of work at 5, you need to feed your family, do whatever you got to do. Do whatever you have to do. Note, we are praying from that time straight until we start at 7. And that's the only other note that I have to give to you, as well as one other note from Al, is that there will not be communion on Friday. There will be communion on Saturday, however. All right? So communion on Saturday, no communion on Friday, and we will start an hour early, just prepping the atmosphere like we do even on Saturday nights, prepping the atmosphere.
Tina, did you have anything you wanted to share? Come up.
Thank you. I would advise to pray, like Lisa and everyone said, but don't have fear. It's not a fearful time. You're so overwhelmed with the presence of the Lord that there would be no fear. One time my husband and I sat, and there was actually a word for the church spoken to us for the church. So God uses every opportunity to speak. So I would not, if fear enters in, rebuke it. It's not a time of fear.
There was just one other time that I saw a gift imparted, a gift of prophecy was spoken over someone who had never, ever, ever in their lives prophesied or even considered it, and was put on the spot that second. So do you have a gift of prophecy? Okay, stand up and let's do it. Don't worry, Melissa. No fear. I saw that. No fear. No fear. But it was proof that that gift had just been imparted to that person, because they got up and did it. And it was right on and accurate, and then became a prophetic voice in the church. So, praise God. Father, we thank you that we live believing and knowing with our whole heart that you are a God who sees, that you are a God who speaks, that you speak personally to us, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, that we are part of a community and a family that believes in the prophetic word. And we pray, Father, be it unto us, each one of us, next weekend, according to your word. Lord, we receive those things. We believe them, Lord God. We will act on them by the power of your spirit and by your good grace. I pray, Father, that this week would be one of peace, one of growing excitement and anticipation and expectation. And we thank you, Father, for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.